Well, hello. Welcome to another lesson in the Lead Yourself First program. This program is designed just for you. My mentor, John Maxwell, says leadership develops daily, not in one day. And that is so true. Lead Yourself First is your system to help you daily thinking about your leadership and your skills that you need today and every day. These timeless principles of leadership, they're critically important, and they make a huge difference. They pay big dividends in your life. Now, I watched in my career, people who got promoted, they had different skills than the people who didn't get promoted, and I got frustrated about that. But the thing is, I learned that you can learn these skills, and that's why I get excited about this. And I talk about this in every lesson because I want to reinforce how important it is that you can grow these skills. You can develop the leadership skills and the influence skills that you need in order to be able to get the kinds of results that you want. And I wish somebody had told me that, because nobody did. I did so many things that were not related to my growth and leadership, and those things did not get me the results that I was after. Now, you also know that when we talk about lead yourself first, we look at what can you apply, change, or teach. How are you going to act after we're done? Our goal is change behavior. We're looking for ways that we can apply the things we're learning, that we can change the way we're approaching things, that we can teach or share some ideas with others. We want to be a river, not a reservoir. We want to pass these ideas along so that you can be the person who helps others on your journey. And you don't have to arrive first. Just sharing what you're learning as you're learning it can be super valuable. Now, I love this lesson. I look forward to lessons like this one, and this one in particular, because when I learned this lesson, it changed the way I worked, and it changed the results that I got, and it changed my career. I'm telling you, this week's lesson is so strong, it is so powerful, it is so potentially life-changing that I'm excited to be able to be a part of it for you. Now, in the next few minutes, we're going to be covering some really good stuff, and I hope that you'll pay attention, that you'll take some notes, and that you'll work on creating your personalized action plan that is going to help you be prepared for the things that are ahead of you. And for some of you, as you listen to this, you're going to say, you know, Tom, I want to do more. I want to grow more, and I'm looking for a way to do that. And for you, if that's you today, at the end of the lesson, I'll share with you a way to do that. So let's get going. When I started my career, I firmly, sincerely, completely believed that the formula of success was my personal performance. As long as I was smart and skilled technically, and I worked hard at being smart, I could reach the highest levels of achievement. And I firmly believed also that I was the one who brought value to my company. I was the difference maker. It was my skills, my brain, my two hands. Those were the things that made the difference in my work. Now, this actually worked for me. There was a season of my career where being willing to work more hours, being willing to study some more, being willing to learn more about the technical details of whatever I was working on, where all those things kind of added up to put us in a better position. But eventually that stopped working. It didn't matter how many hours I worked. It didn't matter what extra reading I did or what extra research I did. I just wasn't able to continue to move up the way I wanted to. And it was the first couple of years of my career, as long as I got better, as long as I was better at doing my job, whatever that meant, than everybody else, I would succeed. And I did get raises. I was moved to the top of the pile, if you will, of people. And I got things done with a high level of quality, and people respected that task focused. But I also remember I had been in my position for a while, and I had a limit, and I wasn't moving up the way I wanted to move up. And I have to take a moment here to talk about this, because I really sincerely believed that if I worked hard, I would be recognized and I would be rewarded. I believed that there was a system in place that was just and appropriate and was watching out for those people who were doing excellent work and then would reward them. I firmly believed that, and I was firmly mistaken. I actually went to my boss and I said, "Boss, I'm the best guy on the team. Why am I not getting promoted? My heart sank when I heard my boss say, Tom, you are doing a great job in your role. Why would I promote you? What? What? That was the exact opposite of what I believed. I was stunned. My model of success didn't match what my boss was expecting. So there must have been something more than that individual personal performance. Now, it was really only by accident that I discovered that I needed to do more than just be excellent at my job. And I had a mentor who helped me see that my job responsibility was more than just me doing my thing, that I needed to perform as part of a team. And up to then in my career, I saw other people as necessary, but they were there to serve me, if I was honest. I mean, if I was really going to be transparent about how I was thinking, my belief was that they would give me the parameters that I needed. They had the requirements, the things that the job needed, and they defined what success looked like, and then I would come in and deliver what they wanted. But if I'm going to be transparent with you, I'm going to tell you that in my head, I sort of only believed they existed for me, that they were there to give me the stuff that I needed to have so I could deliver. Now, I look at that and I call that enlightened self-interest. And it's all about me, and I recognize that I need you because I have to get you to help me. And so just because I wanted for me, I developed some people skills to help get me what I wanted. Now, the thing is, there are a lot of people who never even get that far. Their ability to recognize our dependence on others and a willingness to relate to other people in a way that helps them help us, that's a big step on the journey. And I don't want to minimize it. I don't want to gloss over it too quickly. Even when we're an individual contributor, we need other people in order for us to be successful. So even if you're in a role that is an individual contributor role, you need to be developing the relationships that allow you to continue to move ahead by connecting with others and getting them to want to help you. And we talk about that in a number of other lessons in Lead Yourself First. But this is a mindset shift. It's a change in thinking to recognize that I'm dependent on other people and I need to be willing to relate to them in a way that helps them help me. That's what I need to be able to think about it that way. And even though we're thinking about delivering as a team member, it's really fairly self-focused because I'm focusing pragmatically on what it's going to take for me to deliver. It's all about me. I have to depend on you, so I better learn how to work with you. Now, if I'm a team member like that, I'm really a team member for my benefit, and it's all about what I can deliver with my two hands. So we're in a team, but that just means we're assigned to the same group and we report to the same manager, but that's not really a team. And here's the thing, that idea that my career success was limited by my excellent career performance, my career success might be limited by my excellent performance, what more could there be? Well, I'll tell you, I had to raise my awareness. And the next level of awareness for me was what John Maxwell said. One is too small a number to achieve greatness. And my ability to deliver is good. Maximizing my ability to deliver, that's good. But even if I deliver at 100% of capacity for someone in that position, my maximum is 100%. I can't ever deliver more than one person's worth of results. When I work as a member of a team, the total capacity exceeds 100% of what one person can produce because the total potential capacity of the team is the number of people involved, right? So we're not all working at 100% all the time, but if there's a team at 5, then there's a theoretical maximum of 5 times 100%. If I produce at my maximum, I'm delivering 1, and if I, as a part of a team, deliver, and they deliver, our total capacity is much greater than me, even if I'm amazing at my job. And if I'm going to be transparent with you, I mean, I'm amazing sometimes, but far from all the time. I am only able to deliver my best when I'm well-rested, when I'm emotionally okay, when I'm engaged in the work at hand, and when I have all the tools and resources that I need to do the specific job. If any of those pieces are missing, my rest, my emotional health, my engagement with work and the tools, if any of those is missing, my performance is not going to be at its theoretical maximum. And that's true for everybody. Your team can only approach maximum production capability when everyone has all of those factors in place. Now, what about when those factors are not all in place? Let's say there's some drama on the team. Person A and person B are in a big battle over something. And then right after a big blowout between them, there's this big assignment or a deadline that requires them to collaborate. How's that going to go? Person A and person B are not going to be at their best. They're mad, right? And if we're honest, the whole team is affected by that drama too. It's been said that a rotten apple spoils the whole bunch. One bad relationship in a team affects everyone's performance. Stephen Covey talked about this in his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. It's an old book now, but the principles are solid in that book. He talked about the concept of being interdependent. Now, he says that there are three stages. You start with dependence, and a baby starts as being entirely dependent on its parents, that has no capacity to survive on its own. As a father of 7 kids, I can tell you I've observed that firsthand, that when we're dependent on others, we can't do anything without the help of other people. And then we strive, as humans, we strive for independence. We certainly see that in the American culture. Our desire is to be independent, that we don't have that dependence on other people. But no person is an island, and we have to think about that, that realistically, the most healthy, the strongest, the most resilient people are not loners. The most resilient people are not dependent on others. They're not independent of others. They're interdependent. I depend on you for some things, and you depend on me for some things. And healthy teams are like that too. If the team is really performing well, we recognize that we have a healthy interdependence, that we need each other. And the fact is that each of us has some strengths and some areas of weakness. And often, those people who are the most different from us bring in strength in our areas of weakness and vice versa. Now, when I start to think about being interdependent on others and with others, I recognize that the team as a whole can deliver bigger work and more important work than I myself could deliver. And if my goal is bigger than me and my goal is to deliver maximum value, I have to shift my thinking to realize that I need to be part of a team. I have to make sure that I have the stuff I need, and I need to make sure that others have what they need too. And when I begin to think at this level, I start to think about how can I help you? And I don't mean help you help me. Right, because that's where we kind of all start. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how do I actually help you get your stuff done? Now, first I have to understand what matters for you. What's the potential thing that's your roadblock or slowing you down? And then I have to be able to help you get what matters to you. Now, usually this starts as kind of a quid pro quo, right? You scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. Hey, can you help me out? Or hey, can you do me a favor? Now, that can you do me a favor thing, it's interesting because that ties into a very deep part of human relations and human nature where we want to reciprocate. It's called reciprocity. When we want to try and influence other people, reciprocity is a very, very powerful mechanism for getting people to want to help us. And Robert Cialdini captured a bunch of factors in influence, and one of the ones he talks about is this reciprocation, he calls it. And so his recommendation is be the first to give service. Be the first to give information. Be the first person to concede in a negotiation. We generally want to help people who have helped us. Now, the unfortunate thing is this can tend to be pretty transactional. I do for you if you do for me. And we can find ourselves in a situation where we feel like I have to help this person so they'll want to help me or so they will help me. And again, this level of thinking... Pardon me, this level of thinking is pragmatism. It's self-focused. It's effective at helping you get things done, but it's not the most effective way for your overall and long-term delivery. You see, top performers know that the key is to build relationships so that other people will want to help you. top sales motivator Zig Ziglar said, you can have anything in life that you want if you help enough other people get what they want. And Cialdini talks about that, and you see it in your personal life. You can have anything in life you want if you help enough other people get what they want. It's true. If I can understand what you want, if I can help you get what you want, then you're going to want to help me get what I want. But if I only care about me, well, you're not going to care about helping me. It's simple, but it's not easy. It's a mind shift to say, you know, what happens? The team delivers value, and the team can deliver more value than I can deliver. And when you firmly believe that the team's contributions are greater than your contributions and more valuable than your individual contributions, you have to choose to make the connections you need to understand what others need and then take action toward helping them. Some of you, and especially if you think like I do, you might be thinking, wait, doesn't this mean I'm not going to get my stuff done? If I'm doing your job, I'm not doing my job. Well, it may slow you down a bit as you get started, but here's the great thing. The great thing is that as you build those relationships and you serve others on the team members are going to be more cooperative. They're going to be more helpful with you. You may be able to have them do some of the things that you were doing before. You may find that there are fewer mistakes or times when you brilliantly deliver something only to be told that's not what we wanted. And the fact is that our work environment is often inefficient. Sometimes we think we understand what's needed and we'll go do something and do it wrongly or do very effectively the wrong thing. And then we end up wasting time. And when we build the relationships and we understand what the team as a whole is trying to accomplish, we reduce that rework, we reduce that waste in the system, and it helps deliver more value. So the key to your success for a team is finding a way to maximize the value delivered by the team. And in my early days, I thought value was about perfectly delivering the thing, whatever the technical thing was. But let me give you a fast food example. I was ordering food for my large family, and we have a lot of people in our family, and we order a lot of items, and there are a lot of opportunities to miss the mark, right, to get something that somebody didn't expect. And I was going over the food, and I compared it with the things that we had ordered, and I discovered that the restaurant had not given us one of the orders of French fries that we had requested. Now, there's 10 of us in my family, and it happens fairly commonly. And so we just need to learn, we got to check, or somebody might be disappointed that they didn't get what they expected. And when it comes to food orders, I think it's important you want to get that order right because you're feeding people. And getting the order right matters. It's the equivalent of getting the technical thing right. You ordered X, you got X. Perfect. But what is the value in that transaction? Why do people go out to eat? They go out to eat for convenience, for the flavor, for positive experience, and the transaction is valuable to them when all of those things are right. So let's go back to my French fry situation. I mentioned to the manager we were missing an order of French fries. Now, I could tell from the reaction that she gave me and the look on her face that she was uncertain whether or not the order had been correctly fulfilled. And I could tell by the look on her face that she was pretty sure that she was right and I was wrong. And I watched her over a period of a few seconds as she was wrestling with how to resolve that conflict. What ought she to do? She might have had some brain freeze. I think she paused for 4 or 5 seconds, which doesn't sound long until you're looking face-to-face at somebody and they're just not responding for a few seconds. And after those awkward seconds, she eventually said, "Here, take these fries." And she handed me the fries. And she made the right decision, technically, but the experience was a memorable one, and in a way I don't think that restaurant really wanted. And one factor in the value that we deliver is making positive memories, making people feel good about the experience of working with you. And that day, that team blew that part of the equation. Let me ask you to think about this. If I was going to ask my peers, how much fun am I to work with? How easy am I to work with? Now, we like to think that we're nice, easygoing people. We like to think that we get along with others. We like to think that we're positive to be around. But if you go and you ask, the people you work with, "Hey, I'm curious," I'm curious, you might be surprised. So let me ask you to think about this. How would people answer, how much fun am I to work with? Now, fun is not the ultimate outcome. The goal is to work, get work done. But if the experience in working with you is not a positive one, that's going to diminish your effectiveness, and I think you need to consider that. Now, the cashier would say, I did my job right, and the fry cook might say, I did my part right, and the manager might even say, I delivered the food, and yet they didn't deliver maximum value because they were looking at their part of the process and not at the customer experience. What they were measuring themselves on was not the customer experience. The whole is bigger than the participation of the individual team members. I heard a proverb one time that said, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And I know that's true. When I want to go someplace by myself, it doesn't take me long to prepare and leave. But if I'm taking my family, it takes quite a while. When we work as a team, we focus on the value we deliver. It's the best way to maximize results. So let me ask you this. What value does your team deliver? What value does your team deliver? And how is that value different from your individual value that you bring? All right, it's just about time for action planning. And I want you to think about your personal action plan today. Are you thinking right now about work as an individual contributor? Are you maximizing your individual performance like the fry cook or the cashier? Are you seeing yourself as a member of a team, but maybe more in the what can you do for me mindset? Are you thinking as a team member, dependent on others, but also those others depend on you? Are you working in an interdependent team? I want you to think about your action plan. What's the one idea from today's lesson you can apply, change, or teach? And maybe you're listening with your team, and if so, it's a great time to have a conversation. How much fun am I to work with? What can we do better as a team to perform as a team? What value do we deliver? What are we really trying to get done in our work? Okay, at the beginning of today's lesson, I told you that I could offer you a way to go deeper and do more on this. And for those of you who are interested in that, I've got a 4-session coaching program on the book Developing the Leader Within You. This is the book that really exposed me to the idea that I could grow, that I could learn how to develop my personal leadership and my influence skills that were going to take me to my next level in my career. And I'd love to help you with that. The cost is $199, and in these 4 sessions, you're going to get new skills, you're going to create your personal development plan, and you're going to get practical ideas that you can immediately use. And if you're interested in that, you send me an email, tom@brighthillgroup.com, tom@brighthillgroup.com, and we'll get it set up. Thank you for being here for today's Lead Yourself First lesson, and I look forward to hearing from you next time.